to make a difference in lives. That's what we're called to do. As God has made a difference in our life, to do other. But man, I don't know. Do you really know this God? Do you truly understand who God is? Think of that, Jehovah. Do you really understand who He is? I mean, I've talked to people before, they refer to him as the big guy upstairs, you know what I'm saying? And when they say that, they have no idea who they're talking about. Jehovah, Jireh. This is God, the creator of the universe. This is a God who gave you breath. This is God that changes things. Think of that. I think for the most part, the church, I'm talking about you guys. But I'm saying, for God who God is. The church has forgot Jehovah. They forgot the God of miracles, the God of reverence, the God of holiness. We forgot. God has not changed. He hasn't changed. And when you look at our God, you realize that He lives in you. Wow. It's easy to forget. Get bogged down by things of life, right? I mean, we have to keep reminding ourselves, don't we? But you know, being remembered is a good thing. I have a wedding band around me. I'm married. And I wear a cross to remind me I'm God's. Now, I don't need either one of them to be a follower of Jesus or to be married. And I mean, my ring has been on there 42 years. Okay? Yeah, I mean, I always say 43, it was 42. And I don't need to be reminded. I don't. No. But this here, I'm telling you, it helps me a lot. It helps me keep my mouth shut. It helps me at times to focus who lives in me. It really does. I thank God for it because it will jingle once in a while, you know. You ever get to the point where you open your mouth up and, oh, or especially if I wear it on the outside. I know to some folks today, this is jewelry. I mean, it breaks my heart to see folks wearing this. You see all these people not living for the Lord wearing these cross-like jewelry. They have watered down the symbol of what this means. But to me, it's not watered down. It reminds me of the sacrifice that Christ went through, that God Almighty allowed His Son to do for me. But remembering God, Jehovah, the creator of everything. And we look what He has done over and over in the centuries, in the millenniums, in the past. He hasn't changed any. And I know right now, for a lot of us, we are crying out. We're looking at the things in our country. And we can't believe it, can we? We are crying out, saying, oh my lands, what's going on? I remember the days of, what was it, two chickens in every pot? I guess what it was? Somebody ran for office promising that. Promises two chickens and we got a skunk and a rabbit, you know? Okay. But let's look at God for a second. Look who your God is. Look how He's performed in the past to His people who cried out to Him. And if you want to jump in the book of Exodus, go right ahead. If you got your Bible with you, you can. I'm going to get there eventually sometime today. I know I will. We're going to Exodus chapter 3 here. Because God's got us going several different places today. But what He wants people to know that He is not watered down. That He is not wimpified. He is not politically correct. He is God. He is Jehovah. It shall be His way. He will have His way. Understand that. He will have His way. He will. And He's looking towards His people. Those that He's delivered to represent Him here on earth. Represent Jehovah. Wow! I remember how it was when I first put my uniform on, I represented the sheriff of Coshocton County. You know how much trust it took in the sheriff to place a uniform on me and give me a badge, give me his authority? Give me the same powers that he had to represent him wherever I went, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Because a cop is not on duty 8 hours a day. It's a lifestyle. So we don't take that lightly. Now, that's nothing compared to what God has given you. You represent him here on earth. You cannot get greater honor than that. That he has bestowed upon you all that he gave to his son Jesus when he walked upon this earth. That is something. That is something not to neglect or trample on. Jehovah. What would you think every place that you walked? You had a fire bush walking behind you. You know what I'm talking about? When God showed to Moses, the fire. Think of that. Just think, how different would you live your life? Anyway, all of us, I mean, come on. If everywhere you went, there's this fire bush beside you. It represented God. Or at nighttime, he would show up as a cloud of fire. Or cloud of fire, yeah. And during the day, a cloud. Think of that. Would it be easier to follow him that way? Amen, amen. Boy, I set you up perfect. That fire is living in you right now. That fire is inside of you right now. That fire should be gone. People say, man, what do you have? Woo, I knew I set somebody up, God would. I don't mean in a bad way. But you understand? We always say, well, just if I had this fire bush beside me here, woo, or I had a cloud above my head, I could draw people. That fire is inside of you. That desire for souls either there or is not there. If Christ is there, that fire is there. That desire to change people's lives. Sorry, I'm going to hit you there. It's going to be there. And it's there. But what you've been doing, you've been trying to kindle it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You're just trying to, I don't want to offend people. I don't know. Sometimes bashful, I guess. But God is saying today, time is so short. Time is so short. Don't worry about it, because that fire, that flame that's burning inside of you, someday will be the representative of the fires of hell that's torturing those who are coming around you who are not coming to Jesus. Let that burn so bright that you don't care. That you don't care. They might have did you dirty, but I'm going to pray for them anyway. Amen? I'm going to pray for them today. I'm going to pray they come to know Jesus. You ever insult somebody that you don't like? Did it ever change your mind? I can't think of a time that I ever, back in the wilder days, either cuss somebody out. I'm sorry, guys. I'll go back out in front of you. Or insulted anybody. Did it ever change your mind? I mean, can you imagine me and Chuck getting fight over land dispute out home? I go to Chuck. I say, I'm tying you what? Bye, 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 bye. X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z, X, Y, Z. Chuck says, oh, man. Well, since you said that, okay, here, I'll move my fence 4 feet back. No. Wouldn't work, would it, Chuck? You'd make it higher, wouldn't you? Yeah, you would. But speaking with reason to Chuck can make a difference. But if I want to change Chuck, if I'm in the right, you know what I'm saying? Through prayer. God will soften his heart as I pray for him. Amen? We are in a country today where our hearts breaking as followers of Jesus, the way things are turning, the way things are getting so ugly. And for some of the part of it, what we're doing is we are turning towards the opposite, and we're slinging all kind of stuff out towards them. We're calling them every name that there is. We're telling them that they're no good, they're going to burn into hell, that they're rotten, they're no good. Okay? But what they need to see is that burning bush. See a burning bush. That's the only thing that's going to change them. Truly. Folks, I can stand up here today on any Sunday, give me a bunch of new folks in here, I can stand up here in the flesh and say, I can say this to you right now, do you want to burn in hell? Do you want to go to a place forever and ever as darkness? And where you're going to be tormented day and night? If you don't want to go to hell, get down here right now. And this place be flooded. Oh, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. God say, oh, yeah. And they leave here, guys, and never changed a bit. Amen? It'd be like saying, hey, don't be lonely, don't be lonely. Oh, man, let's go to farmers.com. Yes, yes. And get yourself a wife and never be lonely again. Well, listen, go to farmers.com and get a wife, okay? But if it's not changed here, it's not going to do any good. Yeah, you can be lonely in a crowded room. Yes. It reminded me of the song. People come and people go, moving fast and moving slow. I'm in a crowd, yet I'm all alone. The road is long, the road is rough. That's the Monkees. Never mind. But you see what it is? If we're going to change things, it has to be through love. We have to see individuals as created in the image of the living God, of Jehovah Himself, had them created, had a plan and purpose. Our heart has to get heavy to pray, to intercede, that their eyes would become open. And that's the complete opposite we want to do, right? In the flesh, we want to. Oh. To change. Only through Jehovah will be a lasting change. I've heard people say, well, we got to go to all the abortion clinics and everyone's going in there to do abortions. Kill them all. So we're going to solve this problem by doing something they're doing? Yes. I know it can get ugly. It can get ugly. And our hearts breaking, but we've got to realize who you are in Christ Jesus. What is deposited in you? It's the Holy Spirit. That fire that can tear down mountains. Can open eyes. How many people were in church today thought you'd never be in church? Do we need any more examples than that? The Spirit of God changed things. How many folks ever told someone they were going to church now they about fell over? You going to church? Oh my land, I can't believe that. Amen. Amen. So think of somebody right now. Maybe even in the government agency. Don't speak any names out. Can God change your heart? Yes. Some of the folks coming to your mind right now are very powerful, influential people. They're just using their power and influence on the wrong side. When God did it to me, He brought me over from the side of sin to His side of redemption, righteousness, His righteousness. He can do it for me, He can do it for them. People today still don't believe. He's going to church. He's not just going to church. He's a preacher. To God be the glory. But man, God is depending upon us to take these things, taking to heart and through prayer, and intercede and pray. You know, as you're praying for someone in this church now, find yourself an elected official and start praying for them, praying for their eyes be open. All just pray for them and intercede for them. And watch God move. He will. And a lot of times my prayer is like, God, I just lift them up today. And I just pray, Lord, that they'll see the awesomeness of You. That they'll see how awesome these little babies are. That we realize what all You've done through little babies in Your life, Father God. I do pray, Father, I pray for their eyes to be open. And their ears to hear. But God, I do want to pray, Father, I pray if nothing else, that they will be neutralized. from doing any more harm to these children, Lord. To these children. They intercede. They pray. And I know it takes a lot, but we can do it. We can continue to let God's heart live in us. We continue to listen to Him. I mean, I said earlier that I've never complained about anything really that changed anything, except maybe when we went to a restaurant, complained about the service. The next time it was worse than the first time, you know what I'm saying? Always be appreciative. If you go to a restaurant to order dinner, you got lousy service, and just thank God that you got something to eat. Maybe that server is having a bad day, right? Pray for him. Amen. Let's step in the book of Exodus for a second. Let's go to the third chapter. And we're talking about a guy named Moses. Now Moses at this time in his life is going to be about 80 years old. He's a gentleman that escaped death because his mama put him in the Nile River. That the house of Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out of the river. Raised him up. He would end up committing murder trying to protect his people. And he took off, and now he's been on the backside of a mountain tending sheep for 40 years. Ran away. God had a plan and purpose in his life. No doubt he thought he blew it. He's hiding out among the sheep. But God knew exactly where he was at. You can't hide from God, can you? Now we can try to hide his voice in our heads. We can try to hide from him moving, but we can't hide from him, guys. He's always there. But look what God's done. He is, at this point in time, God has heard the cry of his people. They've been in captivity. And they're crying out to God, help us, deliver us. You know where they just came from? Anybody remember Joseph? Well, I've heard about him. I know, I didn't remember him. Bob goes, I think so. No. They went through a great drought. Joseph, by listening to the Spirit of God, had enough food put up in Pharaoh's house. And they survived it. Did they not, Carol? Yes. Think of that. Prosperity. Most people have been wiped out, but because Joseph, who was actually taken to slavery, who was actually still a slave, found favor with the person in charge, his family, his whole people, could have been eliminated. But they survived because he listened to God and found favor with the enemy. But you know what happened? As time went on, the generation started to pass on, they forgot how God had survived them. How God had brought them through. How God allowed the enemy to feed them. They got lax. Lazy, forgetful, and then you find them back in bondage. Sound like your life? Yeah, been there, done that, okay? Crying out, God help us, come on with your people. And what happens, those cries is going to fall upon the ears of Jehovah. And God, seeing this shepherd, this Moses, said, what's time? It's time to react on the cries of my people. So I'm going to start with verse 1. You can follow along with me or listen to me. But I'm going to chapter 3, verse 1, where we're going to start at, in Exodus, in case you want to follow up on it at home tonight or today. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Well, it just so happened he'd be around the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not burned up. There is that fire again. That fire is going to draw people. They're going to come looking at it. And that's what God's done here to Moses. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Oh. And he said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at him. And look what he's saying, man. As he drew closer to God, that bush said, Man, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. The presence of God is there. He said, Man, take him off. God knows who he is. He wants us, a relationship with us, but we have to come to him according to his plan. Take off your shoes. Can you imagine saying Moses saying, Well, listen, I ain't taking my shoes off nobody. Or he might say, God, I can't take my shoes off. I tend sheep, my feet stink. You can have every excuse in the world not to draw closer to God. And look what would have happened. Well, God would probably call someone else, but not the people would always be in slavery. So he had to get over this thing that's trying to restrict him from getting closer to God and take his shoes off. And today the same thing. What is it in our lives that's keeping us from drawing closer to God? What's that one thing saying, yes, but. We have so many buts out there, you know, we have to get rid of them. I can do more for God, but. No, lay it down and draw closer. But God is holy. Think of that. He's a holy God. When you open your word up, don't worship the pages, but worship the word. This is Jehovah. If you have a Bible, you have something, there's people over across the lake, across the seas, wish they could have. Oh, to have the Word of God to read it. We smuggle in maybe a page to people in China through outreach and stuff. One page. Isn't that awesome? Not so much as cherish the Word of God. So we got to find ourselves not getting to the point of this thing. Yeah, it's a Bible. I won't read it today. Stir that back up again, guys. Stir that back up and say, man, this is the Word of God, Jehovah. Inspire this. And come to humble yourselves before Him. Look at the difference it will make in your life but the lives around us. To realize who He is. He's God. He's not the big dude upstairs. He's a hub-hub. Jehovah, man. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That's who your God is. Amen? Think of that. He says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. So God's eyes is on His people and He sees what's going on. His eyes upon us today, He sees what's going on and He's hearing the cries of His people saying, God, help us. Help us change things, Lord. Forgive us. We let things down in our time of good and plenty. Man, we turn our back on you. We allow things to come into our lives, into our country, into our government, into our schools, everywhere, God. We turn our back. We were called as a chosen people. We sat down and did nothing because all we wanted to do is concentrate on ourselves. We didn't recognize what took place in history. We didn't recognize the blood and the people who sacrificed their lives in order to give us this country we have today under Jehovah. But God didn't say, I helped him once, I helped him twice. No. God heard the cries of his people. I mean, it's not too late as his people come together and start calling out for him. And you would think, be in Egypt for a moment. And you're crying out to God to deliver us. Who do you think would do it? Who would you be looking for? I don't think you'd be looking for a shepherd on the backside of a mountain who escaped because he committed murder 40 years earlier. But that's just the way our God works, amen? He takes things that have been run and He turns them around again for His glory. And it's for His glory. There's nothing that Moses could brag about as we go through here. It had to be God in his life. And folks, people say the same thing about you. That has to be God in their life. Look how much they've changed. Wow, look at the compassion. Look at the love. You are a walking testimony. You go back to that fire I talked to Penny about. It's inside of you. Let it raise up. Continue. People are seeing that. I mean, if you have a fire in your belly right now, it's like they're seeing smoke come out of your ears. They're seeing a difference in you than the person standing beside you. They're seeing that. And that's what God's doing here. He says in verse 8, he says, "So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." So I've heard their cries. I'm going to deliver them. He heard your cries and he said, "I'll deliver you." He said, "I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to bring you up." And you got to hold it. He's raising you up right now. He's bringing you up. He only wants the best for you. As they cried out to him, we cry out to him. We got to do what he says to do. Amen? Because he wants the best for us. Okay? Oh, it's going to be difficult. We see throughout this story, with the, even during the process of being delivered, they want to fight with him. Because God wasn't doing things the way He wanted it done. But they wanted it done. I want it done right now. Don't you guys? Right now. But some things in your life right now, but God takes place and He does it right now. You or that person you're praying for will go right back to it. The Bible tells us that a dog will return to his own vomit. Think, my, how nasty is that? Isn't it true? It's true. The only way that you can keep a dog from going back to his own vomit is move the dog to another place or get rid of the vomit. And right now you're crying out for somebody. Right now you're crying out, "God, why don't you do this?" Well, he has to line these things up. Because when he takes them out, they won't go back. And if they did it too quickly, they'd be right back where they come from. So we continue trusting in Him and just give Him the glory and continue to pray and know that God is God. And people say, "Oh, you've been praying for Him for how many years now? I don't see a change." I don't care if you see a change or not. My God's working. My God's not a liar. He's working in their behalf, and I will continue to pray. If I had to step in the glory without seeing a change, my prayers would continue on. Having faith in Him. And the folks here in Egypt, man, they've seen God move before. They knew that. They knew the history of God. He said, "I will take you to the land flowing with milk and honey." That's the promise God made them. He says, "To the place of Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and all the Ites." Okay? And verse 9, "And now, before the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me, furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them." I'm seeing what's coming against them. I'm seeing the torment. I'm seeing what they're using. He said, "Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Come on." And he said, "Certainly, I will be with you," God says. "And this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." And Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them? What is your name?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he says, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name to all generations. So this God of ours, I am that I am, is still here with us today. Okay? And what it took to get Moses' attention was a burning bush. Okay? And when that bush caught on fire, when that fire was there, it turned something inside of Moses. Now Moses is going to go back into the camp of the Israelites and say, listen, God's heard your cry. He's going to release you. He's heard your cries. Oh, how we know he sent you. You know what he's going to end up doing? Moses is going to do? He goes back to God. You're going to see a leper's hand come out. And go back in and come out. And the leopard is going to be gone. He's going to throw the staff down. He's going to turn to a snake and come back up again. The people have been crying out to God, deliver us. And when God sends a deliverer to them right away, they want to question him. Well, who are you? Who are you? But I tell you what, because of a burning bush, because of that fire, the people end up getting delivered. Set free from the captives and end up going to the promised land because somebody was willing to do what God said to do. Even though he had a stuttering problem. You know that? Moses stuttered. God, I can't go. I mean, I stutter. You know what God said? No problem. Take your brother Aaron. I'll talk to you. You talk to Aaron. Every excuse we can give God for not doing what he wants to do, God will counteract it. God, I'm just too bashful. Okay, I'll give you my Holy Spirit inside of you. It's not bashful. Okay. Everything. Man, God will use us. But that's what we need right now. When we're praying for our country, you're praying for your own life, we need that fire. Only the fire will make a difference. We need fire into the House and the Senate. You understand that? We need that fire. We need to call it down from heaven. And we have brothers and sisters right now serving in the cabinet right now in different places. And we need to pray for them and strengthen them because they're standing there. And they've been shaken. They've been made fun of. They've been cursed at. And they've been run over because all these loudmouth people are coming against God. But we got to say, wait. Our God, our Jehovah, He can change lives. Yeah. One by one. They're going to see that fire that's being spoken. The truth is being said. One by one is penetrating the lives of people and changing them. We can't grow weary. We cannot grow weary. We can't say, I give up. Pastor says, this ain't my home anyway. I'm going to glory. That's true. We all head to glory. This place isn't our home. This is our battleground. And He has called us to war against the evil one through Him and through Him. Through prayer, through fasting, through supplications, and not growing weary. Amen? Changing the hearts of people. That's what you're called to do. You can make a difference for the generation that's coming behind us. We have seen what happens when you sit down and do nothing. The enemy continues to grow and grow and grow. We need to have it more upon ourselves to take the responsibility that God's given us. Look at the difference it makes in people's lives. Look what one shepherd made. And the difference of the whole country. You make a difference. Your life makes a difference. Your actions make a difference. Time and time again, Moses would go to free the people. Just when you think, yes, they're coming out. Get them frogs. Get them gnats. River running blood. Darkness. Time and time. Yeah, we got them this time. The hearts change. What was happening? Evil was trying to wear down the good. I don't think it was that. I mean, it had to be difficult on Moses in a way. Not to serve God. But can you imagine the staff? Man, the frogs didn't do it. The boils didn't do it. Man, how much more can I take? But he kept going. Listening to God, being obedient to God. Because through all that, God had a plan and purpose. He was showing his might through every plague that came. You understand that? And I think also at the same time, he's trying to teach his people, okay, man, I'm going to deliver you. I heard your cries. I'm going to raise you up. Stay focused on me this time. Why is it we cry out in the middle of our nightmares and we bring back up again and we got flowers and daisies? We turn our back on God? He wants us to learn from the past. Amen? But man, I can't handle it. Whatever it might be in your life that you tried before and you tried before, God delivered you. I can do better this time. If it's not of God, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Because it has never changed. Sin is still sin. God is still God. He wants us to learn from our past. Keep our eyes on Him. Listen to Him. Do as He says. You're truly His hand, His feet, His voice. He said, man, don't ever be ashamed of me, God says. Please. If you're ashamed of me, He's saying, you don't know who I am. And how do you know who He is? Right where you're at. Exodus is awesome. I mean, the whole Bible is awesome. But sometimes I truly believe we need to go back in the Old Testament and read some of the things and see the power of God moving. Because that same power that is moving is still alive today. And that strength rests inside of you. Making a difference. How many loved ones do you have in captivities? Amen. The same God is still there. Sometimes the best antidote is show the love of God. There's one that you're trying to bring to the Lord, show Him His love. But remember, when I say that, God's love is God's love. It's not a compromising love. And I see in the Bible quite a few times, we call it today tough love. But it's love. Amen? Remember the old days? And I'll close with this. Have you ever got a paddling from your dad? You don't understand when he says, hey, this is going to hurt me more than hurt you? Yeah, right, Dad. In my hind end, yeah. But you realize later on, when you have your own children, it hurts you to discipline, but out of love you do. As the Word of God says, if you had to feel the sting of the hand on the hind end, then the fires of hell. So that is true love. He comes to us with that small, clear voice to listen to it. Exodus 15:26 is the last verse for the day. Exodus 15:26. Talks here, I'm going to read it and I'll explain it to you. In 15:26, it says, any bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her like her bed at menstruation, and that everything on which she sits shall be unclean, like her uncleanness at that time. And God's, what He is saying there, in a nutshell, is saying, sin is sin. Dirtiness is dirtiness. Sickness is sickness. But God come to bring healing. God comes to restore. God tells us in that section that God is a healer. And it's, again, you can read rest of that today. But He says, His name is Jehovah Rapha. He's a healer. Understand that. I know you're looking at it, man, how are you getting all that out of that, Pastor? Well, God describes Himself as a lot of things. He's known as a provider, protector, peace, healer, powerful sustainer, most high God. And he's showing what he has done when he brought healing into a person's body. No longer considered unclean. He's a God that heals. And when you call upon his name, when you say, man, Jehovah Rapha, you are the healer. And we realize, what else did he tell us? He said that he sent his word and healed us, right? And in Psalms 107:20, he sent his word to bring healing to our bodies. In John 10:20, I'm giving these verses here, and you can take them home with you and look at them. In John 10:27, there's another verse I want you to look at this week. We're going to plow here next week. In John 10:27, he says that, my sheep hears my voice, and another they won't follow. So, God established himself as a healer. Understand that. He established himself that he sent his word to heal. Then he says that my people hears my voice, and another they won't follow. So with that, in your head, you got voices in your head. But in there is God's voice. And as you hear God's voice, and you follow that, the other voices in your head that try to come in there and lie to you and cheat you, okay? Try to steal what God's given you. You overcome those. You recognize God's voice as you read his word, knowing that he is a healer. And a healer is physical, emotionally, all of it together. To pay attention to his word, and not the word of the enemy. It's like this. My wife and I, 42 years, right? I remember that time. Can you imagine? I want a lady to pick on. Vicky. Can you imagine Vicky coming to my wife after church today? Hey, I was talking to Starkey the other day. I was in the soup kitchen. Man, he said, man, he wish he would have married somebody else. He said, man, you know, he just, man, 42 years is too long with one woman, and he just wished that he had someone else that, you know, he would have married to and made different decisions back then. Now, those words just went to my wife's head, right? What? You call me two-faced? Okay. She has those thoughts in her head right now. What else is going on in her head?
Am I loved?
For a second, wow, Vicky, that's really, man, all these years together, and he really, oh man, just, she's starting to get depressed. Wait a second. No, I've been married to that man 42 years. I've seen him stand in front of the congregation time and time again, giving glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my wife, Carol. If I hadn't married her, I'd probably been dead years ago. She changed my life. I give him the glory. That comes back to her. She's hearing my voice in her head, even though I'm not speaking. It's in her head. And she's like, oh, man, I remember my card he got me on my anniversary, oh, how much he's thanking God. I will not believe the lies of the enemy. She would say, get behind me, Vicky. But do you see? It's the same way of God's voice. You know who you are in Christ. Woo, you're forgiven. You're born again. But it doesn't stop the voices of the liar, of the enemy, of Satan from getting in here. And you can be very vulnerable sometimes. Can you not have a tough day, a rough day? And then the thoughts are coming ahead. You got to grab them right then. And the Bible says, man, my sheep know my voice. And another, Paul, you got to right then recognize who you are in Christ Jesus and cast down them thoughts. Wow. The enemy is a liar. And sometimes the enemy will speak to other people and realize not everybody likes you. The enemy doesn't. And sometimes people don't even realize what they're saying to you. They might think they're doing well. I'm going to cheer them up a little bit. Yeah, that Starkey ain't no good anyway, Vicky says. Yeah, retired cop, you name. Trying to make my wife feel better, but really trying to destroy her. At the same time, trying to comfort. Okay? You ever have a, don't look at anybody right now, but you ever have a disagreement with your spouse? Anytime in your life or your... Have you ever had your children who are married have a disagreement with their spouse? And they come home and they start talking about it. You know, we got to find you somebody different. That's no good. You need, so you got all these plans in your head as a parent. Yeah, we're going to do this and this. And the next day you're ready to go, move them out, whatever. And they say, oh man, we kissed and made up. Well, I think it's time to get rid of him or her. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, I don't get too deep here, but okay, if God's bringing relationship back together, we should rejoice, amen? We should be speaking life into them. Let's make some decision here, you know. Because God hates divorce, but he doesn't condemn it. Understand that? Amen? Okay. What I'm getting at is that we think we try to be doing the best thing, supportive of them. Yeah, come on, we'll move out. Kind of, and at the same time, we're really detrimental. Because when we encourage them to do something without understanding what we're saying, we can do more harm than good. But talk to me a little bit. What's going on? What's happening here? Okay, well, is there a way that we can reconcile? Or are you being hurt, harmed? Okay. God's the same way in our lives. He'll come to us. Oh, hang on a second. And you'll hear his voice, John. He'll speak to you. And all the things in the past, all the other voices you're hearing, you're going to hear the voice of the Lord. And you cast down them other thoughts. Ah, get behind me, Satan. Like we said, yes, no, I'm not going to believe that. I'm a new creation. Amen? Be encouraged. Never said it'd be easy. But man, I'm telling you what, it's worth it. You're making a difference in your own life. God is making a difference in your life. And you're making a lot different in the lives of people around you. Don't give up. Amen.